A giant mushroom tower is sprouted in MoMA PS1's courtyard in Long Island City. What might sound like something out of science fiction is actually a structure called Hi-Fi, designed by David Benjamin and his firm, The Living, winners of MoMA's Young Architects program. Hi-Fi is composed of bricks that grow themselves using living mushroom roots and chopped up corn stalks. As a result, it's completely compostable, offering a bold new vision for the future of sustainable architecture. Hi-Fi is at MoMA PS1 through September 6th, and I'm very pleased to welcome David Benjamin to our show. Hi.
Hey, it's great to be here.
Where did the idea to make bricks this way come from?
That's a good question. At our architecture firm called The Living, we've been interested in the intersection of biology and design for a long time. We're interested in the possibilities for living organisms to help us compute solutions to problems or grow new types of building materials, and this is one example.
Gavin McIntyre and Eben Baer have invented a process that grows all natural biodegradable substitutes for plastic from the tissue of mushrooms. Are they using a similar form of biological technology?
Yes, and actually they have a company called Ecovative, and we collaborated with Ecovative on this project.
Can you explain the process used to create the bricks?
Yeah, in essence, you combine agricultural byproducts, so the waste of growing crops, in this case chopped up corn stalks, with a living organism called mycelium. It's a root-like structure in mushrooms. You mix those two things together, you put it in a mold of any shape, and in about 5 days it grows into a solid object.
Will any mushrooms do?
No, I don't think they will. It's a special species of mushroom called mycelium.
And you're using chitin, aren't you? That's the main component of the cell walls of fungi. Also the exoskeletons of arthropods like crabs, lobsters, shrimps, insects. But you're getting it from mushrooms because it'll grow?
Yeah, exactly. And one of the amazing features of getting it in this way and using these mushrooms is that they can grow in the dark with no added energy, no sunlight required, and it happens really quickly. In about 5 days, you get these solid objects.
Does it just keep growing, or is there a stopping point when you say, okay, we have a building?
It does kind of run out of steam when it runs out of nutrients. And so our idea, you know, Ecovative had been using this process to grow some amazing parts of our physical world. They started with growing replacements for packaging material, so replacing styrofoam with this organic material.
And the peanuts that we find in boxes.
Yeah, exactly. So
and
imagine
they are all
making
them out of mushrooms, which is then makes them biodegradable?
Yes, exactly. If the other ingredients are also biodegradable, in this case they are.
Because the styrofoam is not biodegradable.
Exactly. And so in a way, we, you know, just like Ecovative, we're designing this new building material. We basically made a new brick, and we're designing it as much for it to go away as for it to arrive. We're interested in the end of the life cycle as well as the beginning.
So it was important for you to make it entirely biodegradable.
Yeah, that was the kind of experiment of this project.
And what is the idea, that you could build something and have it function for a time as a building, but then and build it a lot less expensively than you might if you were using traditional building materials, and then have then break it up?
Exactly. Yeah, and especially when you compare that to the way we normally make buildings, it's a really different kind of ecosystem of materials and energy.
But that means you wouldn't be building apartment houses because we'd like them to last for a while, or even single-family houses.
That may be true. I mean, this was, you know, we're doing this project as an experiment, and part of the experiment is how long could this material last? Could we use it for permanent structures? And I think there's good evidence that we could, especially in combination with other materials.
In an interview with Architecture Magazine, you imagined the 2014 World Cup stadiums using sustainable materials such as these bioplastics. What would happen? You build those stadiums, which cost Brazil billions of dollars and led people to riot. You'd be building them with mushrooms for thousands of dollars? Or millions of dollars?
Well, this way of making building materials can end up being much less expensive. But we think that's especially true if you think of the costs to the environment and to ecosystems of having landfills filled with concrete rubble or styrofoam from packaging materials. If we can find ways to, you know, take waste material from our normal agriculture or other processes, make solid objects that we need, like packaging material or building blocks, and then at the end of the life cycle, instead of filling up landfills with things that will take thousands of years to return to the earth, you know, we could return these new bricks that we're using to the earth in about 60 days. So we think it's both less expensive and a better way to function with the ecosystem.
How has the architecture community reacted to the sort of thing you're doing?
I think they've been really interested. There's obviously a movement in the world and also in the field of architecture toward an interest in sustainability and engaging questions about the environment in a lot of ways. And this, I think, represents one of many ways that could be new and interesting.
My guest is David Benjamin. The building designed by him and his firm, The Living, is currently at the Museum of Modern Art's PS1 Courtyard in Long Island City. For those listeners who haven't seen it, can you describe what the tower looks like?
The tower is 40-foot tall construction of branching cylinders, and it kind of is situated within the courtyard of MoMA PS1 in order to provide, you know, an interesting new space, a test for a building, but also a backdrop for the weekly parties called warm-up that happen there every Saturday.
Parties will be held inside the structure.
Inside the structure and around the grounds beside it.
If somebody spills a drink accidentally on one of these bricks, is it going to dissolve?
It will not. They're pretty resistant.
What's the role of the reflective bricks at the top? What are they made of?
That's a good question. In order to grow these new type of bricks, you need a mold or a tray. And in this case, we used trays made out of a new high-tech material called specular film, made by the company 3M. And then at the end of the growing cycle, after growing about 8 different parts in these trays, one after another, we reuse the trays on top of the building to create a kind of a crown of reflective material.
You decided not to paint this building.
Exactly. Originally, we had imagined using an organic compostable dye on the inside to create an outside that was a natural color and an inside with a glowing color as a test of this building material to be able to take on color and texture like all building materials. In the end, we decided as we were building it that we really thought the texture and pattern and light and shadow worked best with the natural color.
3M makes Scotch tape. You didn't use any of their Scotch tape to put this thing together, did you?
No, we didn't. Or Post-its. We didn't use any.
What was the inspiration for the shape of Hi-Fi?
The main thing we were thinking about in making the shape was that we wanted to explore a new building material, not only for its technical performance. Could it resist the weather, the rain? Could it be strong enough and dense enough? But we wanted to explore this new building material for its kind of creative potential. Could we design interesting patterns with it? Could we make an interesting space with it that would give you a different atmosphere and a feeling? And so we made the shape of the building in order to create an interesting space to be inside.
And how well has it held up? Because we've had some extreme weather during the summer.
Yeah, that's right. And the weather has really tested it. I've heard that we've had, you know, more rain in the past couple of weeks than we normally have in a lot of the summer. It's doing well, and that is one of the tests of the material. Can it hold up to rain, humidity, and things like that? But the structure is doing great.
How did you wind up in architecture? I understand that you didn't make it as a rock musician. Was architecture a fallback position?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, I used to be in a kind of indie rock band. And then I went back to school, went to graduate school at Columbia for architecture, partly because I thought that architecture involved the kind of combination of art and science, creativity, problem solving, always doing something new that was interesting to me. And I've been lucky enough to have a fun path on that.
And created this or co-founded this firm that we mentioned, The Living.
That's right.
What are the kinds of projects do you do?
One other project we're doing in the city right now is a floating pier in the East River with lights and sensors. And it basically makes this network of floating tubes that blink and change color according to water quality and presence of fish. So it's using some new digital technologies to give a public interface to something like environmental quality.
And we could we would know where the fish are because it would start glowing?
Exactly. The lights
there
would give a trigger.
A lot of fishermen who would love to have something like that.
That's right. But also just citizens want to know, are there fish in the East River right now? And is the water quality improving or getting worse from week to week?
I read that another project of yours is manipulating the DNA of bacteria. Can you explain that?
We're working with some scientists called synthetic biologists in order to explore the possibility that bacteria could do some of the same things that these mushrooms are doing, that bacteria could be engineered in this case to create materials that are rigid or flexible and could be useful to us in new ways and suggest new designs to us.
We're really using the cellulose of the plant. Is cellulose that strong?
I think in certain arrangements it really can be. And we're also learning that it's valuable for some materials to have different properties. We don't always need to design for permanence. We don't always need to design things that are inert and static. We can explore new possibilities. And we think that represents an interesting future for design in the context of a lot of changes in our environment, in our climate, a lot of unpredictability. So buildings and building materials could be more like living, breathing organisms that are responsive, dynamic, that can change their properties in response to the environment.
I read about Ecovative in The New Yorker last year. Ian Fraser wrote a piece about it, and it sounded like this is really great. And I'm going to start seeing an awful lot of this material soon. Well, I've gotten a number of things that are still packed in styrofoam. Is it hard to get the manufacturing community to change because they've been doing the same thing for so many years?
Yeah, I think that is true. And it's also true in architecture. I mean, the way our buildings and cities get built now involve a lot of different trades, a lot of ways that people have done things for a long time, and changing those systems takes a while and is a challenge.
I would think that people would find this attractive because it would cut down on a dependence on petroleum.
Definitely.
All the things that it replaces, well, brick is not based on petroleum, but brick involves other problems. But all of those plastics that this would be replacing would be eliminating the need for petroleum.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
So why have you been hearing that people are at least interested in doing that, seeing this as a viable alternative?
I think there is. I think there's a huge amount of interest, and it's a matter of getting the right first prototypes out there, getting people to see it, believe it, feel it, and then using it in a more widespread way.
Former U.S. Secretary of Energy Stephen Chu coined the term glucose economy. So yeah. Other people are envisioning a time when we'll be doing a lot more of this?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a really nice term to help us imagine a future when glucose replaces petroleum. So we have a glucose economy instead of a petroleum economy as a way to get the raw materials and also the energy that we need for our world.
Are there other kinds of natural organisms that might be useful in doing this sort of thing?
I think there are. And I think this is just the beginning of a wave of not only new kind of building materials, new substitutes for plastics, but a new way of thinking about design. We could think about designing things not only with our typical inert materials, but with living organisms as collaborators.
Is slime mold something that people are considering?
That's a great question. Slime mold is very interesting in part because it has this incredible dynamic property. It grows into very interesting shapes. And to me, it represents an incredible potential of living organisms to solve problems for humans at a different scale. So I'll quickly summarize one thing that's super cool about slime mold. If you place slime mold on something like a big Petri dish, and you give it a lot of different dots of sugar or nutrients, it will grow out to create a network between those dots that turns out that kind of network is really good for solving other problems at a different scale. And people have started using slime molds to create maps for transportation networks like highways or railroad maps. And it turns out slime mold, by just allowing it to grow and find its food, can be a really great way to create a solution for a human problem.
On the other hand, I think if you're going to make it commercially viable, you have to change the name.
That's true.
Slime mold is not all that attractive. I understand you're working with Kanye West on a project and also Airbus?
We do have a lot of collaborators, and that's been one fun thing for me about having a kind of experimental architecture firm, is that we can work with the kind of buildings and cities of the future, but also things like entertainment experiences or industrial design objects or in aerospace.
If I wanted to grow one of these buildings in my backyard, would it be very difficult?
I think soon it would not be very difficult. And that's one of the cool things about this. I like to call it an ancient technology of the forest, this way that you can grow things with mushrooms.
We'll be going to a store sometime in the future, a mushroom building block store?
I think you could. Maybe Home Depot would carry that and allow people to, you know, use some of the ingenuity they already have to make things in their own yards and homes or in areas of the world that don't have a lot of resources or stores to buy building materials. I think it's a really easy technology to use. If you have the right kind of mushroom, you can take any agricultural waste, it could be corn stalks or rice hulls, and in about 5 days, with no machinery, no equipment, no added energy, you can get these building blocks.
The corn stalks are the rice hulls because they have cellulose.
Yes, exactly.
There are images of the mushroom buildings on our show page at WNYC.org. It's in the courtyard of Museum of Modern Art, PS1, in Long Island City. What happens after September 5th?
We are going to take all of the bricks that were used to create this structure, and there are about 10,000 of them, and we're going to compost them. We're going to return them to the earth. Within about 60 days, these building blocks will become high-quality soil. We're working with a great collaborator on that front called Build It Green, a nonprofit in Queens, and we're going to return this soil to community gardens and local tree planting.
David Benjamin's Hi-Fi is at the Museum of Modern Art, PS1, through September 6th. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Yeah, it's great being here. Thank you, Leonard.